and it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. On this edition of the program, we are hearing once again from Frank Blanquette, station manager for FNX, First Nations Experience. At the June 27th Regional Emmys, FNX received 7 nominations and 4 wins. We heard about a couple on the previous KVC Arts, and the next one we'll hear about, Cleaning's a Cakewalk. It's special in that it's not only an FNX original, but FNX was there from the inception, or at least the earliest of stages. Frank, talk to us, please, about how that even came to be.
We were at the Reservation Economic Summit, RES conference, and we were meeting friends for Korean barbecue. And so we got together and we were chatting, and one of the writers and the director is an actor, and so I asked him about what he has going on. He's been on Dark Winds. He's part of the cast for the new Washington film that just came out on the 4th of July. But, you know, I was talking about what he was working on. He said, you know, I got this grant from Navajo Nation to do this short film. And so we started talking about the short film, and the other producer, Goldie Tom, who I know as a makeup artist, they talked to us about this film and they described some of the scenes, and they hadn't shot any of it. They had the concept in place, of course, for this initial grant, but it was a coming of age film. And part of the grant is to promote the Diné language. And so the film is predominantly in Diné, and I think there's a lack of representation, especially for kids, like overall in Native content, but especially for kids content, you know. And this was one of those films. This was a coming-of-age film for a little boy named Albert. And part of the inspiration for this film came from, you know, Goldie and Ryan have been attending film festivals for a long time, watching, supporting Indigenous films. But one of the things that they notice is that a lot of these films have broken families, right? Mm. And even though that is true for just like any communities,
across,
you know,
exactly.
You know, it's not true for every Native family, and it's not true for my family, it's not true for Goldie, it's not true for Ryan's. And so they wanted to make sure that they put a family out there that was together, mom, dad, kids, and portrayed family life in a more positive way than a lot of the films that are in film festival circuits might be doing. And so it's just another way of breaking down stereotypes and, you know, letting people know, like, hey, you know, like, yes, we have some of these issues, but that's not the only thing that's happening in our communities. Part of it, you know, when they set off to put this film is to make sure that they had a family represented as a whole. And one of the things that Goldie, I heard mention in one of her interviews, is that she really wanted to have a boy be the main character because she felt that we didn't have enough male role models in films in general. And so it's a coming-of-age film, predominantly in the Navajo language. You don't have to speak Navajo to know what is happening. It was good enough to get him a nomination for Arts and Entertainment.
You say you don't have to know the Navajo language to be able to follow what's going on. Is this because they're English subtitles, or because this is kind of an everyman? I mean, this is a coming of age for someone very specific in a certain set of surroundings, but there's a coming of age aspect to everybody in a way. So is that what you're saying? It's just that much of a common kind of universal type of experience. We can understand it because of that. Or is it subtitles?
So there is definitely subtitles, but I think if you turn them off, you could follow the story along. Okay. I think, you know, there's kids, there's siblings, there's like mom asking a kid to basically clean his room in a sense, right? They're cleaning the chapter house, getting ready for an event. But I think growing up, we were all told to clean and help and stuff like that. So you could relate to it from that aspect.
Gotcha.
Anybody that has siblings, you know, can relate to it from that aspect. It's a kid with an active imagination. And I think, you know, you either think back to your childhood or you think about a child that's in your life, you know, what great imaginations kids have. And you see that in this film. And so I think that's the way it's relatable. Certainly there are subtitles so that you could follow along, but I think you can follow along whether you read the subtitles or not.
Okay. That's Cleaning's A Cakewalk. Again, another FNX original and another nomination there. If you want to see these, you can just go to fnx.org and springboard from there. You can search once you're there. But another one that I want to look at now, POW, short for Powwow. And before I forget, even once you just see the title, once you see the graphics there, it is set up like an old school, I don't know, early Mario Brothers or later Atari. I'm not sure where to put it, but it's got the old school graphics look to it. So that's kind of an attention getter right there. Talk about, please, POW.
Yeah, so you mentioned the 16-bit graphics. That was on purpose. There's three different variations of animation. 16-bit graphics is one of them. Then there's kind of like an anime-style animation portion of it, depending on the section of the film. And then there's a part of it that's ledger art, which is one of the art forms that a lot of Native people are known for.
What is that?
Pow has a companion short film that's kind of like a behind-the-scenes. And Joey Clift, the writer-director, talks about this. But ledgers were left by American soldiers or companies behind, and tribal people would pick these books up and they would use the pages to create art. And so they would draw different types of artwork on these ledger pages, and that became known as ledger art. And so there's these different types of animations within this film, but it kind of fuses, I think, playing video games is something that is cross-generation, right? For us in the 80s, like, we had Atari. Then Nintendo came along, Sega came along. But it's something that's been part of our cultures growing up, from Pong to now, right?
That's the first thing I remember. We were so excited, jealous of your neighbor because they had this Pong. It was exciting. And you could get a twist on it. You could really throw that thing. But that was exciting at that point. And then we go up to, gosh, what do we have today? It's amazing. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Frank Blanquette, station manager for FNX, First Nations Experience. We are talking about several programs which received nominations at the recent regional Emmys, and overall there were four wins. We are hearing about POW with a nice little unexpected reminisce about the earliest of video games, but that ties into this piece. The different stages of video.
Yes, so these are the different stages of animation within this film. But this is also a coming-of-age film, and Joey Clift based it on some of his experience with his mom taking him to powwows when he was growing up, you know, coming to the realization that, you know, this is part of your culture. And when you think about the fact that some of the dances that are performed, some of the songs that are sung, you know, that there was a time that you weren't allowed to practice them, it becomes a little bit more powerful. There's a grandmother character that talks about some of her experience in boarding school. So it touches some of the somber issues that Native people have faced throughout the years. But it's really a coming of age in a family that's also together, like Goldie aimed out to do with her film, Cleaning's a Cakewalk. But this is a mom and dad and a little boy. And, you know, one of the things that Joey talks about in the companion piece, which is called POW Behind the Powwow, is that the mom is from his tribe. So he's Coast Salish. So he's Cowlitz. And you could see the art form. He had cultural advisors from his tribe making sure that the animations were correct for his tribe. And then the dad is voiced by Jim Rule, who's a comedian that's been featured on FNX at different stages. And he's Lakota. So the little boy comes from a mixed family, a Native mixed family. But, you know, that's the reality for a lot of our Native kids. You know, they might be mixed between two tribes, or it might be white and Native or black and Native, you know. So this film definitely offers mixed Native kids representation. One of the things that is cool about this film is that not only were there cultural advisors for every portion of the animation, they brought in and they had different powwow dancers that they recorded so that they could make sure that the dancers are mimicked exactly in the animation. But, you know, the composer is Native, the sound designer is Native, you know, the voice actors are Native, the writer is Native, director is Native. So I think having such representation at the different positions that are filled to bring a production like this forward, it's already uncommon in some mainstream pieces that are being put out there. Like, things are changing now, but it's not uncommon. And it's even less common in an animated film. And to see that, and the film has had great success in the film festival circuit. Obviously, being Emmy nominated is a huge thing and something to be very proud of. But I think all those different things that Joey put into this, and the ledger art and all the different things that might be hitting in the film that you could learn about in the companion piece, those are really cool little things that went into the production of this film.
It's interesting, too, because there would be such a cross-cultural thing, not just people learning about Native culture, okay? But you mentioned Lakota and Coast Salish. That, I think, would be really interesting as far as cross-cultural, because really if you look at where the Lakota are and where the Salish are, that's actually really, really close. But that's, if we're not talking about the Salish, the Coast Salish people, we're talking about the whole Confederation. So if you get away from the Coast Salish, we're actually talking about regionally people are living in the same area. But that's one end of the Salish Confederation. And then all the way over to Vancouver, or the, let's just say the Basin area for the Coast Salish people. So that's really incredible, the cross-cultural, not just within introducing people to some sort of native culture that they were not aware of, but the combination of a couple of different cultures. Do you know if that appears in that? I mean, I would think that it would, with influence coming from both Lakota and from Salish, especially Coast Salish.
Yeah, I think in the attire of the mom and dad, I think you definitely see those cultural ties. And not initially being familiar with Joey's tribe, you know, I look at the way that the mom character is drawn and I think, oh, you know, that's Alaska Native or you know, part of that region. But then sitting down and having a conversation with him and learning like the ins and outs of each character, that's where, okay, this is a representation of his tribe, of his mom. And, you know, one of the things that I love about FNX is that learning experience. Like, yeah. I just got an email this morning and found out about an indigenous community that is from Korea, you know. And earlier this year, we had a musician from Japan that's Ainu, and he sent in a series of music videos to us to see if we would play it on the Aux. And we had an interest in doing it, and that premiered. But, you know, I think these learning opportunities, you know, like learning about the Cowlitz tribe and different tribes from not just the United States, but beyond our borders. That is one of the great things about FNX, is not only are we educating the greater community, but we're also educating our own tribal communities about each other.
Another thing about POW with Joey Clift, the writer and director, this is one that FNX has had a long history with. I mean, you've known about this from the earliest of days. FNX launched it, right? And you mentioned something that I'd like to hear more about. You said this was the most successful YouTube campaign. Tell me a little bit more about that, please.
Yeah, FNX was the launch of it outside of the film festival circuit.
Okay.
And so we launched it the week of Thanksgiving on broadcast on the FNX app and on YouTube. And it was our most successful YouTube campaign for a release. It's a piece that I've known about it for a long time in the film festival circuit. I had a chance to watch it at Comic-Con. And shortly after Comic-Con, we shot the POW Behind the Powwow short piece. And so, yeah, it's a film that we've been very supportive of. And honestly, the filmmaker, Joey Clift, has been supportive of FNX for a very, very long time. He's been present at our events. He was here when we were launching the Native Short series. He was at our launch gala on May 1st when the app first went live. Mm. So he's been a big supporter of our work, and we've been a supporter of his work for a long time. I've seen him perform as a comedian. He had success with the Spirit Rangers series where he was a writer. That's a Netflix kids series. That's a Native series. So when we had the chance to see this film and be the platform that it launched on, we felt really, really lucky because it had such a successful film festival circuit, won several awards within that circuit, and being the home for it when people are asking, hey, how can I watch it outside of the film festival circuit? That was a real honor for us.
That's Frank Blinkett, station manager for FNX, First Nations Experience. On June 27th, FNX won 4 Emmys out of 7 nominations. We heard about FNX and a couple of those films on the last KVC Arts, and continuing, if you will, Frank, with Tiger. This was one of the wins for Best Documentary Short.
Yeah, I first watched Tiger at the Sundance Film Festival, where it won Best Director, and it ended up winning an Emmy for Best Director. And the film itself follows Dana Tiger. Her family had a fairly successful t-shirt company in the 80s, you know, one of the first kind of modern art Native American owned companies.
Okay.
And through some tragedies, the company kind of went away. But this is the story of Dana's efforts to revive that t-shirt company. Mm. And I almost feel like I should have worn the Tiger t-shirt today. It was not just a powerful story, seeing the struggles that this family went through and seeing the successes that they had, and Dana's family is Muscogee Creek, seeing that success that they had early on, but then that relaunch of the brand. What I'll say about it, the moment that I watched this, it's beautifully shot, beautifully edited. The music composition is amazing. And it's certainly worthy of all the accolades that it's gotten, including its Emmy win. Here in front of me is actually Lauren Waters' Emmy. She wasn't present. She lives in Oklahoma. She wasn't able to come out for the Emmys. and they didn't let us go up on her behalf to accept it. But she was on the phone with Eric Hernandez, who is writer-director of Courage.
Okay.
And so she had a chance to see the statue, to be notified of her win that night. And okay. She was on the phone when we brought up her statue and had a chance to show it to her on the phone, a video call. Seeing her on the other end, I think that meant a lot. Even though she wasn't there with us physically, she was certainly there on the phone. And, you know, out of everything that we have on the FNX app, and certainly there's a lot of great, great content on there, but this film is a must watch. And this film got Lauren into the Academy of Motion Arts as a director.
Mm.
And so she's an Academy member now, and it's well deserved. It's truly an amazing film. And if people want to download the app and want a must watch list, Tiger would certainly be on that must watch.
Excellent. Tiger, best documentary short. This was, again, one of the wins. You also mentioned Courage. This one, I think, gosh, really cool in a variety of ways. And this is another one that FNX has been around since the inception of this. This is, again, a kind of a coming-of-age story, but it handles a couple of different aspects. We're looking at a kid struggling with what his friends are wanting to do versus maybe what he wants to do. There's tradition coming from his cultural background versus other directions that he may go. His struggling with self-confidence maybe is at the core of it all. This is for Courage. So please talk about what this is. It's going from basketball to hoop dancing.
Yeah, and this is a personal story for the writer-director, Eric Hernandez, and we learned about the film when it was still doing its fundraising campaign, and I personally supported it from that point, and if we had the opportunity, we would have come on board earlier as producers as well. But we had a chance to come on board as distributors, and when the time came to be able to broadcast it, to be able to put it on the app, to have it as a video-on-demand title. And it had the number one spot from the moment it launched in December through, I want to say, April. It was a number one watched piece on the FNX app for a long time. It's certainly, you know, well-deserving of that. It's a coming-of-age film, a film that our Native youth can gravitate to. It's Eric's personal story. And so without giving away too much of the film, because obviously, you know, I think we encourage people to watch it. But it's his personal story, struggling with, do I pick basketball or do I go with hoop dance? And it was a decision that maybe other kids are struggling with, like following mainstream or having those cultural ties. And sometimes the answer is both. Sometimes the answer is one, you know, but it's his personal journey, and hoop dancing has taken him all over the world. He was part of the Cirque du Soleil performances out in Las Vegas. Yeah, this film kind of talks about his journey. And, you know, I think a lot of kids can relate to his character in the film.
We're talking about Courage. This is one of the other nominations and one of the wins. This was Best Director, I think.
Yeah, and the cool thing about that, this is Eric's first film, and it had a successful film festival circuit. It's a film that he wanted to make a feature-length film, and everybody said, well, why don't you make a short first, you know? Okay. And he went ahead and made this short that is beautifully shot. The composition is great, and another Native composer and violinist. It looks so good on film that you can't help but think, you know, the accolades that it's received are so well-deserved. Again, another film that features a Native cast. The dad is played by Pat Vegas. His dad is Redbone Pat Vegas, and he's been featured on The Ox. He's been featured on Studio 49. And so familiar faces. Chef Piet is in it, and she just published a cookbook. It's a Native cast, a Native writer, Native director, Native composer. And so it's another one of those films that's really changing the way Indigenous stories are told because you have Natives in front and behind the camera.
Beautiful. Not only are people putting a face to it, but that gives perspective that you wouldn't be able to get elsewhere. I'm David Fleming in conversation with FNX station manager Frank Blanquette for this edition of KVCR. It's talking about the 7 Emmy nominations and 4 wins June 27th. Such a wonderful, big night for FNX and all involved with those films or shows. much, much more at fnx.org. You can watch FNX on TV, and you can also get the FNX app for your phone, your smart TV, or other devices. And that's a rather easy process.
Yeah, well, I think the hardest thing is navigating your own password system, right? So, but yeah, the app is available pretty much anywhere. You know, if you can download Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, you can download the FNX app.
Okay.
And when we set off to launch the app, and, you know, we're so thankful to the Yahavitam of Seminole Nation for giving us the grant to be able to launch the app. And honestly, like being able to keep it free. And I think that's the big thing, not giving our native communities another monthly bill to pay. And it's available Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV. It's anywhere that you could find an app, iOS. Okay. It's going to be readily accessible. Okay. And best way to find it, if you go to fnx.org/app, that'll give you a list. And you could, if you're searching it from your phone, you'd be able to click directly on the link that you need. Mm. If you're looking from a tablet or if you have a laptop or desktop, you know, there'll be a web portion of it. But it's an app that you can easily install. And I think having a free native Netflix is pretty awesome.
Yeah, totally. FNX.org, that's basically the best springboard. We mentioned that. And once you're there, you can branch off to all these other aspects, not just these shows, but some of these things like the AUX and that we were talking about earlier, some other wonderful programming that appears at FNX.org. So beyond the channel itself, how about a social media presence? What social media platforms does FNX show up on?
So at FNX TV is our handle, and Instagram, Facebook. Okay. I know we have others, but those are the two main ones that we use.
Facebook and Instagram. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Well, those are the main ones anyway. The only other thing, future plans for FNX, whether these are shows or whether this is okay, we've got 16 more states to grab. What are some of the things that FNX is wanting to do? Whether this is just, hey, maybe you're thinking of it right now. Maybe this has actually been on the table and we've been talking about this. What is in the future for FNX?
Well, at a time where people are thinking that broadcast is going to go away, we don't have plans to do away with broadcast. We actually have plans to grow broadcast. And part of the reason is that tribes across the country have FCC bandwidth that's been set aside for them to have broadcast services. Most of those tribes take advantage of that from a radio perspective. But for those that have the capability to have television, we can be what they fill that 24/7 channel with. And that's true for Cheyenne Arapaho TV, for Gila River Broadcast, for Navajo Nation TV. The 24-hour channel, which once you have a channel, you have to fill it 24 hours or the FCC will take away your license if they give you one. We are what they use to fill those 24-hour 24 hours. And they're always free to interrupt our signal with their local programming, whether it's locally produced pieces, whether it's news, whether it's their tribal council meetings, however they want to use their channel is perfectly fine with us. And we know how hard it is to fill 24 hours. When we first launched the channel, we were on 6-hour repeats, then it became 8-hour repeats, then it became 12-hour repeats until we were able to have enough content to have a 24/7 station. And so, you know, I think a lot of the tribal stations went through that same thing, you know, and so being able to provide the 24/7 feed to them and they provide content to us, you know, like one of our most popular kids series comes from Cheyenne Arapaho Television, Frybread Flats.
Okay.
And, you know, being able to reciprocate that relationship that we have with them, right? Like we put some of their content on a national broadcast channel and then they give us a space in their communities. And I think that's important. I think when a community invites you to be part of their community, it's really special. And so we really value the partnerships that we have with our indigenous broadcast affiliates. And of course, like being part of the PBS system that honestly, I think with the general public, that goes a long way, being a part of such a trusted entity. All that to say is that we're still growing our broadcast reach on the app side. We're still growing the app. We have plans to make the app an international app.
Oh, cool.
And so we have a lot of people in Germany that are interested in native content. And of course, we have partnerships with New Zealand and Australia. And so we want to make the app international and have the content that we're producing, the content that we have available outside of the U.S.
It's so great that you mentioned that, actually, because that's just a good reminder that while we have been speaking a lot about Native American culture and representation, FNX is not just American Indian, okay? This is indigenous programming from wherever. I think it's dominantly Native American, but there's Icelandic Inuit, there's Aboriginal, there's indigenous programming from wherever. Gosh, you mentioned Korea and Japan earlier as well. So really, it's indigenous programming from around the world, and it's just a good reminder of that. A lot of Native American, but not exclusively so. We've been talking about FNX, First Nations Experience. We've been speaking with Frank Blanquette, station manager for FNX, and the brainchild behind things like the AUX and a lot of the programs that we were talking about. But really, there's so many people involved in this. Hopefully, this will steer people toward FNX. More people need to know about this, not just around the world, right here in our community. I'm glad to be able to do this, and I appreciate you coming in for this, Frank.
Yeah, and locally, you know, KVCR, the PBS channel is channel 24, and we're 24.2. So you could find us on the digital tier. And of course, the easiest way to find us if your services do not provide dot channels is fnx.org/app.
Perfect. Thanks again.
Thank you, Dave.
That was FNX station manager Frank Blanquette talking about FNX and how to find us, and the 7 nominations and 4 wins at the recent regional Emmys. Again, more at fnx.org, on Facebook and Instagram as well. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVCR's. Thanks again to Frank Blanquette. And here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Jessica Greenwell, Shireen Awad, and Tony Lopez. Many past shows can be found through Spotify, iTunes, NPR One, or many other podcast sites, and more still at kvcr.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. It takes only about 3 minutes of your time to make a contribution to this, your public radio home. A 3-minute investment of your time, with the return being the programming you value and count on being there for you the rest of the year. It really is a sound investment, and yes, pun intended. Again, whether it's a one-time gift or if you're setting up a sustaining membership with an automatic monthly contribution of $5 or $10 or more, it's just 3 minutes of your time. Go to kvcr.org/support. And again, thank you so much.